think about half of you just left. Now, no adults sneak out. I'm watching. Well, this morning we're continuing this message series looking at the book of Proverbs. If you have a Bible with you, there's some underneath the seats. Just open that thing right to the middle, and if you ended up in Psalms, just turn to the right and you'll hit Proverbs. We're also going to look today at Ecclesiastes, which is right after Proverbs as well. But when we started this series a few weeks back, I made the point that the book of Proverbs is fairly easy to understand and comprehend. Solomon doesn't make the language difficult or tricky to understand. He hits the nail right on the head with certain topics or situations in our life that really can strike a nerve at times. And that's good. That's good, because as we read through the Word of God, it's to convict us and to mold and shape us into who God wants us to be. And two Sundays ago, we talked about the heart. That Solomon said, above all else, guard the heart. For it's from the heart that everything flows. That you will find truly who you are, it comes from the heart. And we try to filter the heart at times, and, well, we don't always succeed. And the true person on the inside can be exposed. And so, it's very important that we guard the heart, that we only let in what is good and wholesome and godly. And then we're surrounded in a culture that's the opposite of that, and so guarding our heart is that much more important. And last week we talked about guarding our heart in regards to our words that we used, and we talked about gossip and criticism and complaining. And all of us in this room know just how gossip and criticism and complaining can tear down relationships and marriages and working environments in the church. And so it's very important that we talk about this and have it out there in the open as to what the Proverbs say about these things. And this morning, we kind of switch gears in a way and talk about something I don't think we think about often, and that is how do the Proverbs affect us when we're on the job? A little girl, a little 8-year-old girl, went to work with her dad one day, and he worked in an office. And he was walking her down the hallway to his office, saying hi to the coworkers and telling her what certain things were. And he could tell the daughter was getting a little upset, not really understanding why. And tears started to fall. And before he knew it, she was just all out crying and acted frustrated and upset. And coworkers kind of came out of their offices and they gathered around the little girl. And the dad looked at her little 8-year-old girl and said, well, what's the matter? Why are you crying? And she said, well, where are all the clowns you said you work with? And so this morning, we're going to talk about how the Proverbs affect us when we're on the job. I want you to think with me for a moment. Think back to when you were a kid, maybe 5 or 6 years old. What did you want to be when you grew up? Think about that for a minute. Man, it might have been 4 or 5 different things. What did you really want to be when you were a little kid? Okay, now find a neighbor and just tell your neighbor what you really wanted to be when you were a kid. Even if it's embarrassing, go ahead and just tell them. Any of you become what you wanted to be when you were a little kid? Amber, okay. All right, hey, that's one more than the first service. When you're a little kid, the world just seems so big and vast. And well, in the preschool here with our church, we had a little boy this year that was very expressive. He would just tell you anything that was on his mind. And at the end of the school year, Trista, my wife, she asked him, what do you want to be when you grow up? Because he's going to be leaving the preschool, going to kindergarten. And he had several things. He's well-rounded, I guess. He wanted to be a fireman. Well, little boys, you know, to be a fireman. But he said he wanted to be a doctor so he could help people. And then he also said he would be a bus driver or a janitor like Mr. Wayne. And so he kind of had all the bases covered. But when we're little kids, we think of these things. Then we become adults. And do we give thought to how important our work or our career really is? Think about it. We work more than we sleep. Statistics for the year of 2018 state that the average person in the United States works 46 hours a week. Of all industrialized nations across the world, the United States is one of the leaders in hours worked per week per worker. And so we spend lots and lots of time at work. And I think sometimes we think, well, God doesn't really necessarily care about my work. Obviously, God cares about my personal relationship with Him. He's concerned about my family. Maybe I don't know that He's really concerned that much about where I work. But He is. Proverbs talks of this. He's interested in who you are and what you do, and He's interested in your work. In Proverbs 14:23, it says, "All hard work brings a profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty." You see, there's importance in our work. And there's fulfillment in working hard and performing a task. When you're on the clock at work, you're still on the clock with God. We have this delusion that maybe we punch the time clock when we come into church, and then we clock out when we leave, and then we come back the next week and we do it again. But we're always on the clock with God, even at work. And how we can use our job to shape who we are and the platform that we have with other people is very, very important to our faith and our representation of Jesus to other people. And so it should be talked about. A.W. Tozer once wrote, "It is not what a man does that determines whether his work is sacred or secular. It is why he does it. The motive is everything. Let a man sanctify the Lord God in his heart, and he can thereafter do no common act." And so when you go to work, it's not about the what you do, but it's the why you do it. That can make a difference for your employees or for fellow workers. And we really should give honest thought to this. After all, we do spend many hours every week at work. And so we should use this as a benefit for God. This morning I want to point out two false equations that we're kind of tricked into believing are true. But they're not. In a way, it's kind of the American dream, so to speak. And we fall into this trap and this temptation, and we find ourselves always empty, never satisfied. And so here's the first false equation. Money plus position equals a successful life. If I have enough money, if I make enough money, and the more I make, probably the higher position I will have, then that's going to be a result of a successful life. I will be fulfilled. I will have arrived, or I've made it. But success can't be measured by numbers. And if we attempt to do this in life, we're going to find ourselves spinning our wheels, always frustrated, because numbers never end. Numbers are continuous, and we will never make enough. We will never feel adequate enough. We won't feel the success we think it brings. Proverbs chapter 23, verses 4 and 5, Solomon says, "Do not wear yourself out to get rich. Do not trust your own cleverness. Cast but a glance at riches, and they are gone. For they will surely sprout wings and fly off to the sky like an eagle." And we've all experienced this. We've worked hard for something that we wanted, we thought we would enjoy, would bring us satisfaction. But it doesn't last forever. Nothing we have this side of eternity lasts forever. And Solomon is giving us wise advice not to live for that. That's not what a successful life is all about. And we view our job as a means to have the things of life that we think will bring us success, that will enrich our life. We're much like little children. A five-year-old has his sacred toys. And if you were to take his toys, or if his toys broke, the little five-year-old gets frustrated and mad and cries and stomps his feet and throws a fit. And sometimes we don't grow out of that. And we become adults. And we look at our job as the means to make money, to have the things that we want. And we despise the job. We grow frustrated. And the process becomes never-ending. And so we have to guard our hearts of this. Because we have to realize money and position, that doesn't mean a successful life. Have you ever went to Walmart or grocery store and you had the shopping list in your hand and you're looking it over and a gust of wind comes by and blows it out of your hand? Or maybe you came out of the store and you're looking your receipt over because you think the cashier made a mistake and the wind blows it out of your hand. And you ever tried to get a piece of paper that's being blown across the ground and you're running after it and finally you realize, I can't even bend over fast enough, so you're doing this number. Okay, you've all been there. I know you have. Admit it. And it's frustrating. It's hilarious driving a bus when we do the exchange at the high school, especially in the afternoon. Little kids get off and they're running to their other bus. And I've seen this happen. If you're on a bus as an adult with no other adult, you can't get off the bus with kids on the bus, even though you want to at times. And kids are running around. They got papers in their hands, and they drop it on the ground, and they're out there just running all over trying to catch it. It's hilarious. And for us, you're trying to stomp on the receipt, and you're looking around thinking, is anybody watching this? Because this is embarrassing. But something that's not so funny is you might examine yourself, or you see someone that's a loved one or a friend, and you see them constantly running around trying to catch whatever it is that they think will bring them success and fulfillment. And you know, it's not going to work. It's not going to happen. It's going to be temporary. And that's not so funny. And so we have to guard our hearts from the belief that if I have enough money and position, then that's going to create a successful life for me. Because it's going to, in the end, leave you empty. We have this hunger for more money and more position. And there's nothing wrong with wanting to make more money next year than you did the year before. There's nothing wrong with trying to advance yourself in whatever field that you work in, as long as it doesn't interfere with the pursuit of a relationship with Jesus. That's where you have to draw the line and say, I can't cross this line. Because once I do, I'm going to have this mindset, I'm not guarding the heart, that as long as I have enough money and position, then that's going to bring me success. I will feel like somebody, because it's just not going to happen. Now, Solomon also wrote Ecclesiastes. And in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 4 and 8, he writes this, "And I saw that all toil and all achievement spring from one person's envy of another. This too is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. For whom am I toiling, he asked, and why am I depriving myself of enjoyment? This too is meaningless, a miserable business." And maybe you can think of a time where you fell into this trap, this temptation. And it's misery. Trying to keep up with the Joneses, trying to find satisfaction in money and position. Success over significance starts to send you into a spiral, a downward spiral, that can be hard to get out of. The Southern rock band 38 Special is famous for a song, "Hold On Loosely." And we need to choose with earthly things to simply hold on loosely to those things, because they won't satisfy eternally, and they're temporary. I want to read some names to you. All these people have something in common. William Colgate, William Proctor, Wallace Johnson, Robert Welch, J.D. Rockefeller, and J.C. Penney. Now, the one thing they all have in common is they're very, very rich. Very, very rich people in American history. But another thing that they all had in common was their upbringing in the Christian faith. And all of these men had shared this, that from the time that they started to get their wealth, they vowed to tithe from every penny they ever earned. Because they each realized, when you're generous, then greed has a hard time taking root. And how is it we can look at our job in a different light? That I don't work simply for my own success, but how is it that God can use what I work for? After all, He is the giver of all that we have. Proverbs 11, 24 and 25 says, "One person gives freely yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed." Has anyone ever been generous to you? How refreshing that felt. And the truth that Solomon writes, that whoever refreshes will be refreshed. That what we have is not ours, and how God can use it in His kingdom work. The Living Bible translation of Deuteronomy 14:23 is right to the point. The purpose of tithing is to teach you always to put God first in your lives. You see, returning a portion to God, in a way, it's a test of our priorities. And so we guard the heart from the trap of money and position, thinking it will result in a successful, fulfilling life. And we negate the thought of being a generous person and how that can be a blessing, not only to God, but to others. And giving is a barometer also of how much we trust God in what He's entrusted us with. And so we need to come to the realization that we work. We work, we make money. But we need to come to the realization that the internal investment that we make is far greater than any investment in a mutual fund or a stock or the stock market or a 401k or a bank account. But what we give for eternity is something that will pay dividends forever. It's not temporary. A second false equation that we've come to think is true is that a successful career equals a satisfied life. It's kind of funny. Society has a measuring stick, but that measuring stick is much more earthly than heavenly. And we come to believe that if I have a successful career, if I rise to the top, then that's going to result in a satisfied life. And it won't. It just simply won't. Chuck Swindoll wrote, "The only trouble with success is that the formula for achieving it is the same as the formula for a nervous breakdown." And there's a lot of truth in that statement. It just depends which way you take it, whether you're guarding your heart or not. Ecclesiastes 2:11 says, "Yet when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun." You see, life isn't about work and success. We find true meaning and fulfillment in life when we serve. When we serve others, not serving ourselves. And I think we should ask ourselves, when is the last time I served someone who couldn't serve me back? When is the last time I did for someone and they just didn't expect it at all? You see, each and every day in those 40 plus hours that you go to work, God gives each and every one of us a platform. A platform to work for an eternal boss. Yeah, you've got your boss, or maybe you are the boss. But you have an eternal boss, a heavenly boss. And when you have your hours at work, that platform to serve, and to be a shining light of Christ, do we take advantage of that? That is wherein lies true success, true meaning, a satisfied life. Your career is what you're paid for, but a calling, well, that's what you're made for. We go to work. It's good. It's good to work. But when we're there, you have another calling other than just work. Each and every person who claims to be a Christian has the responsibility, the calling, to be a light of Jesus, to share our faith and be an example of Christ to those who we work with. Now, I want to kind of end this morning with three principles that are pretty straightforward and fairly true that I think could really help us in our day-to-day time when we go to work. The first is, work is a blessing from God, not a curse. And when I bring up work, all kinds of emotions can come to your mind. Oh, work. Tomorrow's Monday. It can be mentally stressful, physically stressing to the body, aggravating, frustrating. Then on the flip side, you might think of work, well, it's fulfilling for me. I really enjoy my job. I find satisfaction in it. But work is a blessing from God. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10 says, "The one who is unwilling to work shall not eat." At 1 Timothy 5:8, "Anyone who does not provide for their relatives and especially for their own household has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." And so work is a blessing from God because it's a way for us to provide, to be a part. Also, laziness and dishonesty are despised by God and usually lead to poverty. Proverbs 26:14 and 15 says, "As a door turns on its hinges, so a sluggard turns on his bed. A sluggard buries his hand in the dish. He is too lazy to bring it back to his mouth." Solomon uses that term sluggard several times in the book of Proverbs. He used this term because it describes someone who simply is lazy and is always looking to blame someone else for their misfortune. And we should guard ourselves from this. And dishonesty in our culture seems to get ahead sometimes. And we see those who are dishonest in the tricks that they play and the schemes that they have, and it seems like they just get ahead. But they will pay. It's no way to live. They will pay either this side of eternity or in eternity. But we should guard ourselves from that as well. Proverbs 13:11, dishonest money dwindles away, but whoever gathers money little by little makes it grow. And the last is, work is pleasing to God and eventually rewarded. God values work. What is the first thing that we see God doing in Scripture? God goes to work, creating what we know in this universe. God values work. Proverbs 12:11, those who work their land will have an abundant food, but those who chase fantasies have no sense. At the high school graduation Friday night, it was mentioned a few different times, to go for those students into their future and to work hard. There's nothing like working hard. And God values hard work. Slow and steady, wise and prudent workers. Now, we need the Proverbs. They give us good direction when it comes to work. And I think most days we wake up in the morning, we get ourselves ready, we head off to work, and we might not have a thought in our mind that God is valuing what you do on the job that day. But He does. And each and every one of us spend lots of hours working. And how is it those hours can be used for not our glory, not our self-satisfaction, but to honor and glorify God and to help serve other people? We need to guard our heart from the selfishness that creeps in when it comes to work and money and satisfaction and feeling elevated in what we do. And it's tempting to work 60 hours a week and try to make lots and lots of money because we think we need it to provide and to have all the things that we think we need that will fulfill us. But we work all those hours. We miss out on family. It's stressful to our health. And we have to guard ourselves from these things and look at our work just a little bit differently. Look through the lens of Proverbs and what Solomon's wise words have to say. Because a paycheck and a promotion can't fill that empty void that perhaps you feel. Because the things of this earth are fleeting. They rot, they decay, they don't last forever. Augustine wrote once, "Our hearts are restless until we find rest in you." And who in the world is Augustine talking about? He's talking about Jesus Christ. That our lives are void and empty, filled. We try to fill it, that hole, with the things of this earth, this world, that we think can satisfy. And they might for a short time, but they won't for eternity. And so we have to turn our attention, we have to turn our hearts toward Jesus. Because each and every one of us, we have a hole in the heart that we frantically try to fill. But guess what? Jesus has already done the work. Jesus did the work when He went to the cross. Jesus did the work when He laid down His life, allowed Himself to be nailed to a cross and crucified for the sins of eternity. He's already done the work for us. And there's nothing that you and I can do to earn our salvation, to earn the favor of God, but it's freely given by Jesus Christ. He's done that work for you. And the first step in filling that empty void in your life, in the heart, is to receive Christ. And that makes all the difference, even when it means going off to work, plugging away, doing your job, that if your heart is filled with Christ, not the things of this earth, that you'll see your job, your career, what you do in a whole different light. That it's not about you and self-satisfaction, but it's about honoring and glorifying God. We do that in all things. And so this morning, we give the opportunity for you to receive Christ if you haven't made that decision, to have that void that you have filled with Christ. Many of you have made that decision, and this morning we're going to worship together in this song, and I hope there'll be a time to reflect on what God has done in and through you and His Son, Jesus Christ. And maybe have a new renewal when it comes to waking up in the morning and heading off to work. So let's stand together and let's worship.